Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Saints, I'm reading a social media post, all too typical. It says this: Dear God, I pray the remaining 8 months of this year are filled with your peace and contentment, opportunities, your healing touch, new doors opening, and the abundance of blessings, unquote. Now, to a large degree, that's a good desire and prayer, but you know, there's never the cross. You ever notice that in any of these quotes that we see so often, these false promises that we so often see just thrown out there with no conditions? See, this is all the more reason you and I need to read the whole of the Word of God and read every word of it very closely, because there's always conditions that must be met to receive God's blessings. No, you're not earning them, but Jesus requires them. Like it or not, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. We know that, by the way, is John 15, verse 7. Also, we know that we have the petition, right? 1 John, that we asked of him because we obey him. Notice 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will — his word is his will, and if you don't know his word, you're not going to know his will and how to pray. So if we ask, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. 1 John 5:14-15. So 3:22, chapter 3, verse 22 of 1 John. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. If you want to argue with God and claim that you have no responsibility to engage in a obedient, worship-filled relationship with him, which all of Scripture teaches, by the way, then you're fooling yourself, my friend. Psalm 18:20, the psalmist said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. So if you're praying for a godly wife and you're fooling around on the, you know, looking at things you shouldn't and trying to whoremonger, you really think God's going to bring you a good godly woman? You're kidding yourself. God is not going to put one of his precious daughters who is preparing herself for her bridegroom with a whoremonger man. It's not going to happen. God is scanning the earth with his eyes. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, right? The eyes of the Lord look go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for someone whose heart is perfect toward him, so that he can show himself strong and bless that person. We're going to get into what it means to be truly blessed in a minute, and what it means to think you're blessed and not be blessed. Notice Psalm 66:18. We're talking about the blessings of God and that they're not unconditional. Well, I'm saved, brother. Really? Saved from what? If you're not saved from sin, you're not saved, man. You may delusionally think you're saved, but Jesus didn't die on the cross to give you a ticket and a license to live in sin, the sin he died to take away. And the scriptures are replete with this: behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So if you still have those sins, you're not abiding in him. 1 John 3, verse 5 and 6, he that abideth in him sinneth not. Hello. Think about it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. If you're abiding in him, you're not living in sin. I didn't say that every Christian doesn't veer off here or there, but overall, you're not living in a pattern of sin and allowing sin. The scripture talks about being entangled and overcome. 2 Peter 2, you know, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. And God cannot be tempted with evil, so he's not the one doing that. James 1, beginning in verse 13. So Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity, notice this, in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You think that what you're doing in the darkness is okay because man doesn't see it, but God sees it. You see, so many people have gotten married and their partner, their husband or wife, is still dabbling in things that are defiling them and defiling their marriage and everybody in their life. See, that root of bitterness Hebrews talks about affects everyone around you. Any sin sends off waves and is going to ruin your relationship if you don't put an axe to the root and go on a fast and keep fasting and never stop fasting until you're too weak to do that sin and pour all your love into your wife, into your husband. All of it, all of your romantic love belongs to the one you vowed to before God. It's not to make you happy, by the way. Marriage is to make you holy. You're one flesh, and you're committing adultery by looking on a woman to lust, and anything you're doing in that regard is adulterous in the eyes of a holy God, and it defiles you in his eyes. Where do all adulterers go, friends? They go straight to the lake of fire. They're going to hell, which will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, etc. There's no list of soul damning sins in the Bible. It doesn't include uncleanness, you know, the M word, fornication, which brings in all sexual perversion and corruption, adultery. God is not going to bless your marriage. God is not going to bless you if you're unmarried with a godly man if you're dabbling in iniquity on the side and thinking that somehow it's okay because no man or people around you don't see it, but God sees it. And if you regard, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart in the darkest place that no man can see, the Lord will not hear me. Could it be any clearer? No, it couldn't. It's very clear. God looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Now, you're going to have to make this decision. I can't make it for you. I can only make it for myself. But Jesus said that we should have no part dark. No part dark. Luke 11:36. Are you willing to cry out today to the Lord and ask him to shine his holy light into every dark recess in your heart and come clean and be honest? Only those that are honest decide to have a good and honest heart are going to be with him. The fourth of the four soils. Luke 8:11-15. You're hearing the word of God right now, friend, which is the seed. Now, what are you going to do with it? What kind of soil is the word of God, the seed of the word of God, falling on as we discuss the scriptures? So we're talking about prophet liars who are just putting out promises like there's no tomorrow. And then, you know, you get these videos of these people. I got a word. You got a word? I'm not impressed with your word. I got the word, baby. I don't need your word. You don't have me by the nose. You're not going to manipulate me with all your, man, the Lord gave me a vision and a dream. And, you know, every day they got a new, you know, I don't, who needs it? You got the Bible. The primary way God is going to lead your life. How many people listening to me want to get rooted and grounded? Right now, decide that you're going in the way of the Lord and you're going to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman, you do it. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all and every good work. Okay, you want to get rooted and grounded in Christ? Realize that he gave you his word as a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. The primary way God is going to lead his New Testament disciple and church is by way of the Holy Scriptures. Not some guru that calls himself an intercessor or, you know, a bishop or somebody that's prophesying all the time on social media and always got this word. Like, y'all got to listen, brother. I got this word. I'm not interested in your word. I don't have time for it. I read the word every day, so I'm not impressed with you nor your word. This is all done for manipulation. We'll get into that in a minute. So many false prophets today, as I mentioned, dishing out promises on social media. Everyone and their brother and sister, uncle and nephew is trying to be this guru, this oracle. Listen to me, I hear from God, basically, is what they're saying by their actions. But God gave us his oracle, saints, his written word from him. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how we got the Holy Scriptures. The more sure word of promise and prophecy, actually, it says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. So God gave us his oracles, his word. So, and he commanded us to do what? Preach it. They're not preaching his word. They're telling you they got this word. Why do you care about their word that they claim is from God? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, notice man, let him speak as the oracles, the written, recorded word of God. 1 Peter 4:11. If you're going to speak for God, you speak his word. And gentlemen, let me stop here. here to say this. If God's called you to minister, and by the way, he has in one way or the other from now until Jesus returns or you die, and he's watching and holding you fully accountable to teach his gospel, teach the Bible, the word of God between Genesis and Revelation. So how do you prepare? Just learn the word, get in prayer, walk in the spirit, just learn the word. You don't need to go pay somebody a bunch of money to learn the Bible. It's ridiculous. You got the Bible long before you even heard about this Bible college or seminary. You already had a Bible. What's the matter? You're too lazy to read it. That's what's the matter. So you got to go under the instruction of other mere men. Now you're getting it second hand, and take it from experience. You're going to have a stack of books for their curriculum, and just one of them is going to be the Bible. Have you ever seen these guys in the coffee shops? I used to be one of them people, and I hated it going through it. That's why I left that Bible college. It was the second one I went to as a younger believer. That's not that it didn't help to be around, you know, discussing the word every day and stuff, but it was a mixed bag. I wouldn't recommend it. Anyway, you got these textbooks. You got this big old sack, backpack with all these books you're running around studying just to pass a test, not so you can incorporate it into your life and let it become flesh in you. No. Anyway, you know, you study what men said about the Bible instead of just learning the word of God yourself. What a concept. And by the way, most of them are apostate, and you know that right away because they don't even use the King James Bible. You heard me. You got to be kidding me, man. You call yourself a man of God and you're not reading the King James Bible. You're reading some cheap counterfeit and you make an excuse for it. Man, you need to repent. That is lame. They removed the blood from Colossians 1:14. Case closed. I'm calling you a devil if you're going to defend that and still read that garbage. You heard me. You want to do something about it? Email me and we'll talk about it. And I will rake you over the coals to win the argument, if you will, with the truth. And you're not going to be able to defend it. Why does somebody even have to say this when the blood of Jesus is removed from Colossians 1:14 and that cheap counterfeit, that cheap substitute for the truth that you study that's not the King James Bible? Why does anybody even have to go any further than that? If you truly love the Lord, you can't be saved outside of the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:22. And you're going to make excuse?
Well, I've always had this Bible.
Little sissy is what you are. Repent and get a spine and be a man of truth. You're not valiant for the truth if that's what you're doing. Jeremiah 9, verse 3, I believe it is. God's men are men of the truth. God's men are men of the word. They don't run from the word because it convicts them. They fall on their face before a holy God and announce it fresh every day that there's no good thing in them but Jesus, and beg God to break them and take over their life and make them poor in spirit as they hunger and thirst after his righteousness to be ever more filled with his spirit. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles, the written word of God. 1 Peter 4:11. Preach the word. They're not preaching the word. All these people, well, I got a word. They get in their car and they start filming and everybody's supposed to jump and go, oh, here we go. God's speaking. Dude, God has already spoken to you. He's given to you in his word. It's called the Bible. Lap it up. Devour it. It's going to change your life. It's going to circumcise your heart and it's going to fill you with great joy. Jeremiah the prophet said, thy words were found and I did eat them. You got to find, you got to search the word of God. Jesus said, search the scriptures. And he says, they are they which testify or reveal me. John 5:39-40. Thy word was found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah 15:16. Job said that I have esteemed the words of thy mouth. I've counted them more important than my necessary food, his physical food. How important is God's word to you? I could tell you this right now. God is not first place in your life. He's not your first love if you don't get up every day and seek his face in his word and in prayer. You're lying to yourself. Repent and bring forth fruit meet for repentance or consistent with true repentance, or you're nothing but a hellbound hypocrite. Preach the word. Stop clicking like and listening to all these prophesying devils that always have these visions, dreams, and words. Yeah, this is what God said about that. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. See, they're using you. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. And in other places he said, out of the deceit of their own hearts. Anyone who is truly known of Christ is not impressed with these social media circus clowns who always have a word, a dream, a vision that they falsely claim is from God. So many false prophets who always have a word. They claim it's from God, yet they never point to and preach the word of God. And this points to your own need to study, to show your own self approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. If you're a man or a woman of the word, if you truly are, you're not even listening. You're not interested in these people that have a word. Well, I'm might miss something. Oh, really? Tell me what you're going to miss if you study between Genesis and Revelation. Because he said all things that pertain, all things, not some things, all things that pertain unto life and godliness are found in the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord. I don't know about you, that makes me so happy. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. All things, not some things. So what are you going to miss by missing this person? Well, you don't understand. This food shortage is coming. Well, the Bible says that I'm supposed to laugh when I see that. Why? Because that destruction and famine, there it is, food shortages, thou shalt laugh. Why? Because you're serving the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. Is God going to stop providing? Again, that, by the way, that's the book of Job, you know, who said that. Chapter 5, verse 22, I believe. At destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. We're going to have nuclear war. Well, first of all, if it hits, you know, I got one friend. He says, I hope the nuclear bomb hits me on top of my head. I want to be with Jesus. He has the right eternal perspective. But what about famine? Well, David said, again, from the oracles of God, the written word of God, that's why you don't need everybody's word, trying to scale you, that God's not quickening you to listen to all that. There's been so much confusion, but it can only happen to you when you're not sound in heart and sound in mind and being grounded in the word of God himself through his word, the written word. And Satan has a foothold, and he can always allure you through the lust of the flesh, through worry and all that stuff. Why? Because you're not trusting God. If you were trusting God, you'd be drinking from the fountain of living waters and studying and pouring over his word, drinking the healing oil. You wouldn't be scared. You'd just be prepared. You'd be full of faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Beware of these false prophets. Here's the key, man. They want you dependent on them, because after all, God speaks through them. No, God spoke through his son, and it's on record in his word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. He doesn't need you. Who are you, man? You're a false prophet. Repent. Get in the word and start preaching Christ. That's what the early church says. It says over and over in Acts. They preached Christ. They preached the word. They preached the gospel, not their own word. Well, God's showing me that. Not interested. I got the word of God, the oracles of God, the word of God. I don't need a word. I don't need your word. I got the word. That's what the true disciple says. They say with Paul, let God be true and every man a liar. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John 4, 1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world and have deceived many. So make no mistake, saints, these people are operating under the power and the influence of a spirit of witchcraft, where they are drawing your heart's affections. They're alluring you. They're trying to entice you to draw your attention to themselves and away from Christ, who is the head of the body. And we'll warn about that, Colossians chapter 2. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, for you are complete in Christ. Colossians 2, 8 through 10. In verse 4 in Colossians 2, he said there he was concerned because there were those false prophets who would entice you away from Christ. Verse 18 and 19, still Colossians 2, they're not holding or upholding the head, capital H-E-A-D, Christ. See, they're not elevating Christ. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ. Their goal is to entice you to listen to their word. Everybody's got to hear this word. You know, they make it sound like you're going to hell if you don't hear their word. Laughable. They don't save you. They didn't die for you. They're sinners. In fact, they're false prophets. They're the enemies of God. Let's stop being so shallow, saints. And the only reason why you're looking for a word is because you're too lazy to get in the word yourself. And you call yourself a man of God? You got to be kidding me. You're a moral coward who makes excuses and refuses to repent and get in the word, get rooted and grounded in the word. I wish everybody would have had a pastor like I had as a young believer, brand new believer. And this pastor came up to me one Sunday morning before, you know, the ministry time started. And he put his finger right under my chin, short guy. And he said, you need to get in the word. You understand me, son? And that shot through me like a lightning bolt. How do I remember that this many years ago if it didn't affect me deeply? And I ran with it. I've never been out of the word since. Ain't gonna be. You know, think about Jesus said, if the times weren't shortened, even the very elect wouldn't be saved. Man, I don't know about you. I'm seeing people fall left and right. I mean, left and right. They're dropping like, what is the saying? Dropping like flies or whatever. You know, the Bible says that some shall depart from the faith. They're going to apostatize. They're apostates. They're growing lukewarm. Why? They're not feeding the fire. They're not feasting. A spiritual famine is in the land. We got so many false prophets that are lightweights, that aren't giving you the milk and meat, the pure word of God. They're building their own ministry name, and it's all your fault if you've been deceived by them, because you've got a Bible and God knows it and you refuse to study it. So you want want to have somebody else tell you all about God instead of getting your own eyes on His Word for yourself. Clearing the deck, saying, Lord, I got an open constitution, my spirit, and I want it full of Your Word. I want only Your pure Word writing the constitution of my life. The constitution of my life is Your Word, and I want Your Word imbued, written on the tablet of my heart. Oh God, cry out to Jesus, beloved. Seek His face and get real with Him and stop being a counterfeit by studying His Word for yourself. Then you're not going to be susceptible to all these devils running around here saying, they got a word. Who cares about Your Word, man? Repent, false prophet. I got the Word. God's words are conditional, folks. They're not unconditional. And these flattery memes are laughable all day long, man. All day long. You see them on social media. You know, especially the younger folks, man, they are so, oh God, they are so detached from a real life with Jesus in the scriptures, which is the only way to have a life with Jesus. And so talk about shallow. Shallow does it no justice, the word shallow. It's all, God's getting ready to bless. Really? Man, God ain't going to bless you unless you lay down your life and be crucified with Christ. He is not going to bless your life because that's His prescription and it's unchanging. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to do what? Deny yourself. Don't elevate yourself. Die to yourself. Take up your cross. You're crucified with Christ and follow me. That's the only way to follow Jesus. And how many people you know preaching that cross, that crucified life? Yeah, that's what I thought. Probably less than a handful, way less than a handful. So the Apostle Paul says, these people are the enemies of the cross. Notice the cross of Christ. Their God is their belly. They're using you. They're making merchandise of you. End of Philippians 3 and also 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. And they're going to be damned, and so are you if you follow them and bid Godspeed to them. 2 John verses 10 and 11. There's so much hype out there, sayings and videos. There's no cross in them though, folks. You ever notice that? You know, we need to be camping around this message of the cross is central to the original gospel. God works through the cross. That's His economy. There's so many people having a word, and yet that word never has, notice, never is about right, and I hope I'm wrong at that, never has the cross in it. You ever notice that? Unbelievable. And people just lap it up. But you know, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many is going to wax cold. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing people drop like flies. Why? They're so shallow rooted. Like the different soils, Jesus said, the word would be planted in. They're not doers of the word, therefore they're deceived. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Jesus said it would be so. Matthew 24:10-13, that because iniquity would abound during the persecutions, etc., that the love of many would wax cold. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And you aren't enduring to the end, and you are backslidden if you're not in the word of God. Let me tell you this, friend, the word of God is not going to get into you until you get into it and stay in it. And I'm going to tell you like that man told me, you need to get in the word. You understand me? And don't ever look left or right, or you're going straight to hell, because you ain't going to make it unless you're like the five wise virgins, fueled by heaven's word and the treasure of God's precepts and oracles every day, feeding your spirit. God's promises are conditional. They're not unconditional. The cross can never be factored out of anything. It's at the heart of the God, the original God. Are you following Jesus according to the original gospel revealed in the Word of God, namely the New Testament scriptures and the whole Bible? Are you? If you're not learning to deny yourself, take up your cross, you're not following Jesus. It doesn't matter how spiritual you think you are or how you go to church every Sunday, just some little pansy in the pulpit that won't preach the cross. Why? Because he's not taking it up himself. He's not even saved. But you think you're walking with Jesus, you are completely deceived. If you truly repent and choose to follow Jesus on his stated terms, the cross, your life is going to be blessed beyond measure. When you die and are buried, he's going to raise you up and bless your life. Amazing. He's going to flood your life with his blessing, but not before. Otherwise, you are self-willed and the Lord will not raise you up and bless you. And anything that seems or appears to be a blessing is a lie. So many people running around saying, I'm blessed. You're blessed? Let me just say this. You're not blessed because you say you're blessed. You're blessed if God says you're blessed. And if you're not laying down your life and following Jesus, man up and die, my friends, my brothers. You live what you believe. The rest is just religious talk. Talk is cheap. Do it. Obey God. Fast and pray every week. Yeah, you. Yeah. Isaiah 58. You can say you're blessed all you want. That does not mean you're blessed. The many false prophets, quote unquote, many, not a few, who are promising that God is going to bless you without including the divinely given conditions in the Word of God, the Word, they're misleading you. These are the very false prophets that Jesus warned you about. who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The blind are leading the blind into the ditch of eternal destruction and into darkness. Can the blind lead the blind, Jesus said? He asked. Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Luke 6:39, flashpoint here. God is not getting ready to bless the life of anyone who isn't born again and abiding in Christ, John 15, and serving him with a whole heart. Such a lost soul is hanging by a spider thread over the flames of eternal damnation, all by running around thinking and saying, I'm blessed. Yeah, you're blessed. Notice how they take this verse out of context. Jeremiah chapter 29. Of course, they always quote it out of some lame new version. I don't read that crap. You heard me. It's a bunch of crap. That's what dung is. That's a Bible word. Well, I'm so offended. Well, go away. Get over it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, right? Jeremiah 29:11, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected. In other words, I want to bless you. That's consistent with everything God said throughout his word. He's not willing that any should perish. Apply that to yourself, my friend. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, what I set blessing and cursing, life and death, blessing and cursing before you, therefore choose life that you may live, you and your seed, your children. So God's saying, I'm setting it before you and I desire that you choose life, not death. You choose me and to do things my way, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you. Are you learning, friend? I know I am, that nothing's going to work built on sinking sand. You can try to patch it together and you can say, well, I just love her so much. You know, I'm just going to stay with her even though she's not walking with Jesus. Man, you're fooling yourself, friend. Maybe like me, you got to go through school of hard knocks, but it ain't going to work. I can tell you that right now. It's built on sand. Better to get out of it now. All right. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record. Record. There you go. This day, it's on record. Against you that I have set before you, life and death, blessing and curse. How many of you want life and blessing instead of death and cursing? Look, man, let's just step back for a minute and say, Lord, I just want you to do my will in my life, your will in my life. Close every door to every relationship or anything in my life that does not please you. This is according to the words of Jesus in Revelation 3, about how whatever door God opens, no man can close, and whatever door God closes, no man can open. That's a great prayer, guys, right there. I wonder if you would be like me today and need to just afresh say, Lord, close every door in my life to every person and whatever that does not belong in my life. You know all things. I don't. And open the doors that do, that are your will, Father, in Jesus. That'd be a great prayer every day, beloved. And I tell you, God will sift through and sift out some people from your life because evil communications corrupts good manners. What is that? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Then he says, therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, Jacob, to give them. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. And then Joshua was a wise man of God. Notice he said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. That didn't work out real well, did it? Never does, never will, never has. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It just pays to serve God, friends. If you're out of Bible order, you're out of Bible blessings, and you're out from under the blessed warmth, protection, and provision of God's blessing if you're outside of the will / the word of God. Now, how are you going to know the will of God if you don't know the word of God? You don't need somebody coming online every day. Oh, I got a word. Yeah, you could take your word somewhere else, devil. Click, block them. See, they're never going to read the full chapter. We're going to go ahead and close here in a second, folks. I hope you're hearing what the Spirit says to the churches today. Not me. I'm just a fool, but I pray that you hear the word of God, because that's the way God's going to lead you. If he's not leading you through his word, you are misled. Notice, for I know that the thoughts that I think toward you, beginning in verse 11, Jeremiah 29, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. I want to bless you. But how's that going to happen? Let's keep reading. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You know, notice the word pray, prayer. There's a whole lot of folks playing instead of praying. praying. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're not going to overcome sin unless you're praying. And praying without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, also Matthew 26:41. Memorize them. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you're not praying, you're fainting. You got to have a life in the Word of God and a life of prayer. Not a prayer life, a life of prayer. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when, here's the condition, you shall search for me with all your heart. We got a message on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just pop in the words divided heart. If that doesn't work, punch in undivided heart. Do you have an undivided heart before God? Are you searching for him with all your heart? Bible talks about wholehearted, seeking God. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Also notice 1 Chronicles 22:19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore, build ye the sanctuary. Let God use you to build his church, his people, putting the word in their hearts. And then it goes on. But anyway, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. 1 Chronicles 22:19. Also 1 Chronicles 28:9. And let me tell you, I just love this promise. If thou seek him, if he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. This is said throughout Scripture. Again, the promises of God are appropriated by abiding in Christ and obeying God in a worship-filled, faith-filled spirit. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. And true faith, faith without works, is what? Dead. You got real faith, it's got a corresponding action in obedience to the Lord. In fact, the obedience that you render to the Lord and his commandments are not grievous, 1 John 5:3, or what? Because you love him. It's the expression of your love toward him. Don't tell me you love a woman and you don't serve her. Don't tell me you love that man and you're not a keeper at home and the helpmeet of that man. You're lying. And you're going to give account fully before a holy God who commanded you to be his helpmate. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. God is not available to the casual seeker. Notice Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Only those who diligently seek to. You know, the closer you get to God, the less room there is for anything or anyone to come in between. Isn't that interesting? If thou seek him, he will be found. If you seek him, he's going to be found of thee. If you seek him. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. There it is. Didn't Jesus say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's a commandment. God's ordained and mandated and holding you accountable and expecting you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't worry about your relationships with people. That's horizontal. Get your vertical right. The cross is first upward and then outward. When you're loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your spirit is going to overflow with the love of God and the wisdom and the grace of God toward others. One comes before the other. On the whole law rests on two commandments, Jesus said, and it's in this order. God's order is to love the Lord with everything that's in you, with reckless abandon. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that is, you will find him, or be found of him. Deuteronomy 4:29. It's all over the Bible, and that's the condition. So they'll read verse 11 here back to Jeremiah 29, and we'll go ahead and close here. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected, and that's all they quote. Wait a minute. Let's keep reading, guys. People can make a fool out of you. Really, you're doing it to yourself. If you don't thoroughly investigate the contents, the full contents and context of God's word for yourself, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. There it is again. And I will be found of you. Don't you love this? God promises. Remember James 4:8, draw nigh to me, draw close to me, and I will draw close to you. Let me just say this, my beautiful friend. God is waiting on you. You're not waiting on him. He's all sufficient. He's everything. He's almighty. He doesn't need you. You need him. He said, you draw close to me. And that's got to be on his terms, not anybody else's. And I will draw close to you, and I will be found of you. Verse 14, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. What does that mean? I'll set you free, man. And I will gather you from all nations, pull you out of the world, all those entanglements. The Bible says a companion of fools is gonna be destroyed. Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, and a companion of fools is gonna be destroyed. You're unequally yoked with ungodly people, even if they claim to love the Lord, but aren't living accordingly. You better back off. You better get away from them. Come out from among them and be ye separate. God bless you, my friend. Remember, again, the summate, God's promises are conditional. Learn them. Submit yourself to God. Cry out to Jesus to make you one with Him, the Father, and the body of Christ, John 17, and to teach you and to bless you to walk in an abiding union, that vital union in fellowship with Him, and to love Him, to choose to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for these moments apart. We ask you to seal this word to us and cause it to germinate. And Lord, we thank you that your word never returns void, but that you're going to convict us. You're going to break us and make us poor in spirit and pure in heart. And Lord, having a heart of flesh, able to be convicted at any moment and guided by you to hear your voice. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you for all you've done for us. And namely, when you were crucified on that cross for our sins, you were buried and raised again for the dead for our justification. We know you're coming back soon, Lord. We love you. Prepare us, O God, in Jesus' name. Hello, saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, saints, there's nothing, no thing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.